Welcome back to the guidebook, everybody. Today's episode was actually super impactful for me when we recorded it, and I'll tell you more about that in the outro after the interview. But first, let's talk about who we have on the show today. Today, we're talking to Blair Sharp. I love following Blair on LinkedIn, and I love that she has a cheese emoji in her name on LinkedIn because it's Blair Sharp, like sharp cheddar. She's so clever. Blair is a mom, wife, and writer from Minnesota. Her words have been published in The Bump, Rescripted Parents, and Insider, among other places. She specializes in mental health, wellness, and parenting content. She's a tall, introverted homebody who loves a good charcuterie board. I mean, who doesn't? I guess vegans, but I freaking love charcuterie. Blair regularly shares her insights on LinkedIn and writes a weekly newsletter called Hey Freelancer that motivates others to build their dream businesses as well. So this episode, we talk about how nonlinear Blair's career path was. I know the feeling there, and how she got started with no formal education in marketing or writing. She had an entire other marketing career before this that she started herself, creating alcohol-free content on Instagram, which blew up to 18,000 followers. Wild. And she started on LinkedIn in 2022. Then I've been following her there. We also talk about how she got diagnosed with ADHD about a year ago and the realization and how that changed her life. So let's talk to Blair about figuring out how your brain works best and how to become a freelance writer when you have zero experience.
This is The Guidebook. We're sharing tips for freelancers, raw conversations with risk takers, how to become a digital nomad, and the emotions behind it all. I'm your host, Rachel. On the show, I share everything I've learned in the past 5 years of freelancing and living nomadically, showing you how you can work to live instead of living to work. I'm interviewing some of my favorite digital nomads and entrepreneurs to help you unlock your bravest self. If you want to become a freelancer or a digital nomad, this is the podcast for you.
All right, perfect. All right, welcome, Blair.
Hey.
Would you introduce yourself, your name, what you do for your job, and what you do for adventure?
Ooh, that's a good question. Okay, I'm Blair Sharp. I kind of part-time freelance right now. I also have a day job, so I'm kind of mixing both. I work at the Mayo Clinic. I'm in Rochester, Minnesota, so I work in psychology there. And then I also do freelance writing on the side. Not even on the side. Why do I say that anymore? Like, you know what I mean? I don't do it on the
you
side.
You do both.
It's almost like my old day job is now become my side gig, is kind of how I feel, which is a good place to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so that's amazing.
And for adventure, oh my gosh, I'm like the least adventurous person, but I do have a 7-year-old son. So that really does help me like be adventurous. And like, it's just kind of fun. Like the hack that, you know, parents don't really talk about is that like, you get to like play with all the cool toys and like do all the cool things and like go hiking and stuff like that. Maybe I normally wouldn't do, but since he wants to go be active and do stuff, then I get to do that. So it's
kind
of
that.
Yeah.
That's adventure.
Yeah. Yeah. Every day is an adventure in this house.
Yeah. I did see a video on TikTok a while back that was like, I'm going to pretend that my toddler is a tourist and we're just going to do like all the tourist things where we live because they've never been here before.
Yeah. I'm going to show them around.
Such a good perspective. I never would have thought of it that way. And now I'm like, I'm going to treat myself like I just moved here. Why am I not acting like a tourist? There's like all these museums here. I've never been to them. Like, let's go.
Great. Why not?
Yeah. Heck yeah. Well, welcome to the show.
Yeah.
I would love to start with like how you went from that full-time job you just talked about into like your freelance writing and being able to do this. Now it's like eclipsing your other job. What?
How did that go? I don't know. It's just a lot of my success, I guess you could say, is just from like knowing knowing people, like knowing the right people. I think like referrals, this is not like a good starting point for my journey, but like, you know, I just think like referrals and networking, and I wish there were better ways to say networking, but like just like knowing people has been really helpful to like move my career, I guess, along. But yeah, so I actually just celebrated 10 years at my day job on Sunday. So my PTO finally went up, and like I get a cool little gift that I can't decide on. But yeah, so I started writing. It's kind of, I always try to figure out like the best way to tell the story, because it's, there's a lot of parts for me. It's not just like I decided to write and then I, you know, started a business.
But yeah, it's
like,
never a straight line.
It's never like that for anyone, right? So I don't want to go all the way back, but I was very creative as a child, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was very into all like things. I was into art and things like that. And then when I got into college, I was definitely more into like partying than going to college. Like I was just like, you know, I went for psychology and I just kind of was like there to get the degree because that's what you're supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
And then really didn't do any writing or reading or anything that, you know, self-development wise, I was doing a lot of socializing, which is also good for you. Mm-hmm. But, and then when I was, let's see, well, I quit drinking when I was, 32 in 2018. So that was a big part. Yeah. That was a big part of like my story. And so I did a lot of like, ugh, it's so corny to say like finding yourself, but like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like I figured out like what I liked to do, what I didn't like to do, which is almost more important. And one of those things became writing, right? So I started writing for a local, parenting, blog and, just a lot of personal essays and things like that. And then we got into different, you know, creating resources and things for the community. So I just really got into it there, and that was just a volunteer thing. So it wasn't paid. Yeah. I wasn't doing it for money, which made it kind of took the pressure off, which I say like the way I got into it was just like kind of easy. It felt easy and like no pressure. There wasn't high expectations. There weren't high expectations, you know, for me to like, I didn't quit my job and then try to like make this work. Right.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm very risk averse. So like, I would never do that. I still have that job, I think. Yeah. So then I started posting on Instagram. I made like an alcohol-free Instagram account. And I was doing some like, you know, collaborations, like paid ones with brands and like just learning like how to make things on Canva and just writing my story there. And I realized like how much just writing your story or talking to people about things can just like totally change people's lives.
Yeah.
And so that happened more than once where I know that like, you know, in that Instagram time, my Instagram time.
we've all had it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
you know, there was more than one person that I got a DM from that said like, hey, like I want to quit drinking. Like, I don't know what to do, you know? And I sort of give them advice and tell them kind of like, you know, listen to this podcast or do this or that and kind of coach them through it. And then, you know, it'd be like a year later and they'd like DM me again. They'd say, yeah, I haven't drank since like we talked, like you were That's the first great. Person to talk. Yeah. So like, just like getting out there and just like words and writing and I just realized like how big of a deal that can make in people's lives. Right. So that's why right now, you know, my main areas I like to write in are mental health and parenting, things that I've experienced that are, you know, it's always easy to write about like what you've experienced.
Yeah.
And I started making a little bit of money doing that. Right. So like I started writing a little, a few mental health blogs for different companies and things like that. And so I slowly eased into it. but then when I started making money, I was like, oh, I can make money from this. I didn't even know really, you know, because we all think, oh, got to go to the office every day. It's a 9-to-5. Like that's just, you know, you stay somewhere for 30 years and then you retire. Yeah. Like that's what we're told. Right.
Were you raised by parents who had that steady job?
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. So
it's so interesting.
I didn't feel pressure to do that, but like that's just like what you do, right? You just think that's what you do.
That's how life works.
Yeah. And I have a good job, you know, at the Mayo Clinic. It's a big name and it's steady. I'm not like, there's no, you know, I'm not gonna, unless I do something really bad, I'm probably never gonna get like let go from it, you know?
Yeah.
And so yeah, I think COVID also like being home and realizing how nice it was to be home for a little bit and do stuff on like remote work, which we really can't do because I see patients, but I got a feel for that. And that also added to me thinking like, okay, if I could write from home, like that was kind of like my ticket, right? Like writing was kind of my ticket to have that like flexibility and freedom, I guess, with my time and energy and what I'm doing.
Yeah. Do you feel like freedom has become a cliche?
I know. You
felt yeah. I can hear it in your. It's so funny. I hear you talk about.
I talked about that the other day on LinkedIn too. I was like, oh, this freedom thing. Because everybody's is different. It's not freedom. Yeah. Like I'm still waking up in the middle of the night thinking about I need another client. You know what I mean? Or like, so freedom in my time and energy. Yes. I think for sure more flexibility, really.
Yeah. I think freedom, mm-hmm. holistic freedom, if we're talking about freedom as a package,
right,
is actually like financial independence and being able to do whatever you want when you want and not having to work. That's what a lot of people see freedom as.
Yes.
But in reality, freedom is actually just like being able to decide how you spend your time and being able to decide what projects you work on and being able to decide like, oh, I'm going to bump my rate up to $75 an hour instead of $55, and you get to decide that, not somebody else.
Exactly. Like,
those are the freelance freedoms, but every one of those freedoms comes with some kind of downside. Exactly. That is like, yeah, worrying about clients, worrying about making enough money, worrying about, am I doing it right? Am I enough? Am I working hard enough? So it's kind of, it's always been a double-edged sword. Yeah. And people love, you can accuse me of this, packaging. When I used to sell my course, like I did so much lifestyle stuff on Instagram because that's what attracted people to buy my course.
Sure.
And looking back, I'm like, it was a little bit sleazy, and that's probably why it didn't work as well as I wanted it to.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like that was real footage from my real life. Like I genuinely did work 17 hours a week. I genuinely did spend the entire year traveling full time and rock climbing. But what you didn't see on my Instagram was that I became paranoid eventually about my safety living on the road. And I was really, really, really like sickeningly lonely. Like you can live a dream life and still have bad side effects. There's always going to be a downside. And it's whether or not you want to pay that price. That downside is a price. Do you want to pay it?
Right. And there's a downside to every job, right? It's just like, it's almost like find the job that you hate the least. You know what I mean? Like, of course I don't, you know, I still work Mondays and Tuesdays. I work 10 hours Monday and 10 hours on Tuesday. And then I have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for writing. And so, the thing that I don't like about going to work is like that I have to get up and like put pants on. You know what I mean? Like, I have to like wear black pants. Like fancy ones, you know? So like, instead of the sweatpants I have on now.
I found, actually, I was like roller skating on a tennis court and someone like left a pair of Gymshark sweatpants there. And I went like 3 days in a row and they were there all 3 days. And I was like, this is just litter now. I'm just going to take these home and wash them and bring them to Goodwill. And then I washed them and I put them on and I was like, these are the best sweatpants ever. I'm going to buy a pair of these. So now I have like three pairs of these Gymshark sweatpants and they're just, I wear them every single day.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Exactly. Yes. That's a freedom of comfortable pants. But I don't even know. Were we on this?
So like I find it really fascinating that you started out with this alcohol-free account on Instagram that you grew to 18,000 followers, which is like not an easy feat. Like that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
What made you move on from that?
Yeah, I have ADHD, so
I love that.
Pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, you got bored.
There's really not. It's not all about the money, but there's no like real direct, no real upward movement in that space unless you become like a sober coach or something like that, or like start make sober courses or sober a membership. I have a friend who has a membership where people can join like when they want to quit drinking and stuff.
Yeah.
And I just didn't really want to do that. I'm not like a coach person.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
With ADHD too, like I find this with myself. I'm like super obsessed with something for a while. This is my favorite thing about this podcast. The first season, completely about thru hikers. All we did was interview people who thru hiked the Appalachian Trail, the Pacific Crest Trail, Continental Divide Trail, trails in Russia, trails in Arizona. That was what I was obsessed with. When I decided I was done with it, I'm done. There's nothing left. I can't never again pretend. I can't fake it. Exactly. And then the next season I was like interested in van life because I was getting started like buying a van and moving into a van. So it's all about van life. Now I'm obsessed with entrepreneurship. So that's what we're doing. That. It's the guidebook to whatever I'm obsessed with.
Right.
And that's literally the best part.
Yes. And that's how it should be if it's like a passion thing. Like, and that's how it like you wouldn't be doing this if you had to still be doing hiking stuff. You know what I mean? Like it would be get over. Old as a, after a while. Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't have a problem. Like I don't care. Like I'll talk about not drinking, like, but it's like every day, like it was just kind of like, okay, I'm like more than a person that doesn't drink and, you know, and I know it's for other people. And so that was great and stuff too. But, yeah, I just kind of like got over talking about it and it's honestly like nice to not have to like share what I'm eating on my Instagram story every day and like, you know, post on Instagram every day, like visual stuff, like I, and writing, right? Like writing is a lot easier so I can just write about something. And so I did find LinkedIn though. And that's why I quit Instagram because I can't do two things at once. I can't do two platforms well at once.
Yeah.
So I honestly like found LinkedIn. I don't even know if I did Instagram for a couple more weeks, but then I was like, okay, bye, I'm leaving. I'm going to go to LinkedIn. And then, I think I started LinkedIn in 2022. It hasn't been 2 years, I don't think, since I've been on LinkedIn like actively. But yeah, I don't even know the password to that Instagram account, honestly. I go back because I'm sure people are sending me messages. Like I just got an email before it, like this call, and it was like, hey, so the account's called Sobriety Activist. Hey, Sobriety Activist, like we think you'd be great to partner with. And like I literally just respond, I haven't been active on that Instagram page for 2 years.
Thank you. Yeah. Like, it's funny. But I did the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Like I just got tired of Instagram and the results I was getting from it. It just felt like pulling teeth to even get those results. And the growth was so limited. I was just so frustrated with it. I was tired of like having to take videos all the time.
Right.
My phone memory was constantly maxed out. You have to post every day because your stories expire and the feed posts are only 24 hours and you have to make a visual for it. You can't just write something. And even if you do and you do it in your notes and it's not the right shape and you still have to crop it. It was so irritating. There's so many barriers to like actually doing it, just doing it, let alone being successful. And with LinkedIn, like I have a thought, I open LinkedIn, I write it out, I schedule it, it's gone.
Done.
Or maybe I add a gift to it, which is just fun for me. I like it. Finding gifts.
Love
it's so fun.
Gift. If I could just only communicate in gifts, like we have teams at work and I'll just be like, I'll just send a gif, like, you know, like instead of writing okay, like I'll search for like an okay gif. Like it's just so much more fun.
Yeah. And that's like, it's so much, I find content creation on LinkedIn so much easier. Yeah. But when I started on LinkedIn in like 2017 and it wasn't, content creation wasn't a thing.
Right.
You posted your portfolio, you posted that you got a new job. Like LinkedIn was for networking. It wasn't for posting. And so it's been really interesting to see the rise of content marketing on LinkedIn, what it can do for you, what it means, how it feels, and being able to make that leap from Instagram. Like when I was done with Instagram, I was fucking done with Instagram. I only go on there like once a month. I post like a picture of me roller skating and I'm like,
still
this
alive.
Is for my family. I don't know. Yeah.
And I'm a kind of like, I have a personal one that I post my stories or like I share funny things, but I don't just like let random people, like it's private, you know, like, cause I have my son on there and I'm pretty like mindful of that. So, which is why I never really post him on LinkedIn either. You don't know who's looking at that.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, LinkedIn is a lot easier because of the writing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What have you found with LinkedIn? Like, what are your results? How does it feel to you? How do you use it? Do you have like a strategy? What are you doing around there?
Strategy. Yeah. I used to say like, I have a no strategy. Like be like that was like my, like, I'm really cool. Like that was just my way of like saying like, I'm lazy or like, I can't wrap my head around making 5 posts ahead of time. Like that was the way I could say that. But, it's just hard for me to sit down and write multiple posts. If I do, like I'll do it one time and then I maybe won't do it for months. I think so. I'm trying to get better at like setting aside a time to do that. But I do find that like, you know, when Friday at 10 a.m. rolls around that I picked, like I don't wanna. Like, you know.
I do it when I feel like it.
Yeah. And so like when I do feel like it, I'm trying to really just like dig in and just go for as long as I can, because like, I don't know when that time's going to come again. Mm-hmm. So I'm usually just posting like day of. I do have one day that I post regularly, like the same thing. So like my newsletter comes out on Tuesdays. So on Mondays, I always post about what's in the newsletter. And like, if you want more, you know, like I'm going to get the newsletter tomorrow. So that's like been a really big driver of my newsletter growth, actually.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I really need to practice that. I never share about my newsletter or my podcast. I don't know how it's still growing. Yeah. I'm going to write that down.
Someone told me that. It might have been like on the... It was somebody else's idea. I mean, it's not like this amazing thing. Like it's just posted.
I've heard it before. It's just not honestly, a routine I do. Yeah.
So I've always been like, when I write my newsletter, I always have a Monday post that I write out. But yeah, if it's, especially if you're giving something really like actionable that people want, you know, mm-hmm. in your newsletter or in your podcast, like, oh, this is like a big shocker, whatever thing from the mm-hmm. podcast episode, like put that the day before and then people will, you know, well, the newsletter, like they can sign up. The podcast, I guess you could share that day of. That might make sense. But, you know, so.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's like, I know I should do it. So here's what I do with LinkedIn.
Yeah.
When I feel excited about something or when I comment on something and it's meaningful to somebody or when someone comments on my stuff asking a question, like when I feel inspired, I just immediately write the post and then I schedule it and I schedule them for every single weekday. So okay. then when I want to post about my newsletter or my podcast, I'm like, well, I already have a post have out today because yeah. I already scheduled it and I will always already have a post because I post scheduled into May right now. I don't even know what I'm posting half the time.
Even like it's I've never just scheduled. Like, first of all, I've never scheduled a post because I'm just like too controlling. Like I need to like, I don't know what time will I be on LinkedIn at that time that day. I don't know.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
For me, it does. I just feel like I have to be there for a little bit first, then post, and then be there for a little bit after. Like, I don't know.
Oh, no. Yeah. So when I go on, I just go on like for 30 minutes in the morning or an hour maybe.
Yep.
I do 15 minutes of sending follow-ups if I need clients. Yep. If I don't, then I do 15 minutes of connecting with new people at companies I want to work at. Yep. And then I move on to like replying to my notifications and messages. And then I'll like just scroll and interact. And the post writing is literally like, I just got off a coaching call with one of my clients and they gave me a brilliant idea. Or I'm responding to comments from my notifications and I get a good comment, I make it into a post. So it's like, it's just spontaneous. And I'll write like 5 or 10 posts a day, not like on purpose, but literally it's just like I replied to a comment, I copy and paste my reply to that comment and the comment, make it a post.
Yeah.
And it just sort of snowballs on its own. I am the no strategy girly. Like, truly, it's real.
Well, it's just I have so many ideas. Like, you have tons of ideas. Yeah. I have tons of ideas. I just don't write them into posts in the moment. And I think that's what I need to do better because I could write down one sentence, a one-liner, but, like, next Tuesday, I'm not going to know what I was thinking. You know what I mean? So, it does tell me when it's in the moment.
Yeah, same. So I'll show you if you want. Yeah. I have in my notes app, which by the way is like a disaster. It's like the one unorganized part of my life and I'm truly not even embarrassed by it anymore. Yeah, yeah. But like I have this one note that I used to keep at the top from when I was doing Instagram.
Yeah.
There was content ideas.
Yeah.
There are over 1,000 ideas in there.
Oh my gosh.
Looking at it makes me feel horrible, like overwhelmed.
Even like, can you go back and you're like, oh yeah, I know what I'm talking about here. Or some are just,
absolutely.
No okay.
Every single one I could. But here's the thing. Am I ever, those ideas, not a single one will ever see the light of day.
Right.
Never.
Right.
Because that is where ideas go to die.
Yes. Everybody has one of those though.
You know what I mean?
Like everybody
has. Like my Pinterest.
Like, yeah. Right. This is cool. Like when I really, like when I need to redecorate, right? Like then you just never look again. Yeah.
20 years from now when I have a house that I own. Yeah, sure. So I'm just like, remove the barrier to entry. Where's the resistance coming from? Let's throw it away. But then I don't have new people listening to my podcast and my newsletter subscribers are coming from just referrals because I'm not sharing about it. And I need to like, sure, I put so much work into these things. I'm just like not even sharing.
Yeah, you gotta share. And it doesn't even have to be like super like pitchy and salesy, you know, you just talk about it. And then at the end, you just say, we talked about this in my podcast, right? Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I know. And I could literally just copy for the newsletter. At the top, I put like, these are the three things we're talking about. And I only include three things per newsletter. I could literally just copy and paste that into LinkedIn and something would happen.
Literally.
It's better literally than
like, this is what's in the newsletter tomorrow. Dot, dot, dot. Like, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
If you want in, the link is in the comment. Like, literally, that's all you'd have to write.
It's so easy. So what am I doing?
You get some yeah. the day before. Somebody said day after, too, but, like, I guess you could.
Yeah. Oh, well, on Substack, you can read them the day after, so. Sure. But then people won't they'll subscribe if they think they can only get it in their email.
Oh, right, right, right.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, it's so interesting. Hard out here. So what other results are you getting from LinkedIn? You got your newsletter.
Sure. I've gotten some referrals for writing jobs. There's one place that I write for now that the person just DM'd me on LinkedIn, was like, hey, are you interested? You know, I did remove kind of like, you know, my LinkedIn page profile is really about the newsletter. Cause that was like my one, like I was like, okay, I'm gonna do the newsletter, but now I'm like looking for some more clients. So I'm like, okay, should I change it to like, you know, I need to have like a mix of like writer slash get this news.
I'll send you, know? Okay. So I made a video. Yeah. You guys should, I'll tag it in the description of this podcast. I normally don't share these things outside of Pop Club. It's like for my membership group. Yeah. But when people ask me questions that are like outside of our normal office hours, call times that I can't explain well in writing, I make videos for them. So I made this Loom about how you can position your LinkedIn and how you can change it, how it's a living document, like treat it that way. So right now mine looks like I am only a freelance writing coach in the description and the the headline, but obviously you can scroll down to my experience and see everybody that I've written for.
Right.
And then when I'm looking for writing clients, I switch it back to writing. So it'll say like freelance copywriter for whatever.
Yeah.
And I'll change the about to like testimonials for my writing clients and things like that.
I need
and
to do so that.
Yeah, you can like switch it for what you're looking for. And it's so easy. So I keep a Google Doc that has like all the headlines I would ever want to use and two separate abouts. I'll send it to you and I'll send you my templates. Yeah, it's so much easier when you can just like copy and paste it.
I do have the copy and paste things for like to put like what I put in the comments, like when I want people to subscribe to the newsletter or whatever, I just like copy and paste that. So that's easy. But yeah, I am totally like a copy paste person, but that's the only post that I really have like set. I just joined this new like community. I'm not a big community person because I don't tend to like utilize it enough to pay for something. But this one that I joined has like some like weekly live calls. And so that was like a big one for me and it fit with my schedule. So I'm trying it out. And so that's hopefully going to make me a little bit more intentional about what I do, but it just depends. Cause it's like today I woke up and I'm like, it's raining. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this thing could like make me like not be motivated.
Yep. Yep. And it's such a, like, this is why I'm not like, I used to try to force myself to have strategies and force myself to be intentional. Sure. I made all these content calendars I never followed. And I've just learned to like, just remove the barriers and just do it your way.
Yeah.
And that's what will give you success and consistency. Because if you don't, then like it's just going to be there and you're going to shame yourself for it. And you cannot shame yourself into being better at whatever, air quotes, better.
Yeah. And I also feel like when I do get those like moments of like, oh, I'm not doing like enough, or like, look at so-and-so, like, look at all they're doing. But here's the thing, like people will message me like, oh my gosh, look at all you're doing. And I'm like, no, I don't, I'm not. Like, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like we all do that to ourselves. Yeah. Like, no, I'm not that great actually. No.
Imposter syndrome, comparison. I know.
But like, I will completely stop listening to any like self-development, business, writing podcasts. Get rid of all those YouTube videos. Like I will not watch any of those. I will start like, I'll only read like a novel, right? Or like I'll only watch reality television. I do that anyways. I do that anyways. But you know, like sometimes it's too much. It's the info overload of like, and even on LinkedIn, it's hard because everybody is, you know, selling something or
touting something.
Yeah, it just gets performative and we're all doing it. But like, so, you know, I don't know. So sometimes clout. I just need to take a day off. I'm trying to see if like taking at least a weekend or 2 days off, you know, just to come back and, cause I don't want to be living on LinkedIn either. Right.
Yeah. But, I don't go on LinkedIn on the weekends at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say two things about that. Number one, do you notice that, so for me, I get really comparison-y imposter syndrome-y when I'm PMSing. And then when I'm not PMSing, I am like sky high confidence.
Oh,
I'm great.
You know, have you looked into that a lot? Because like I have seen people like talk about the different times of the month and like how this is when you should do this kind of work. And this is, and I haven't, I know that exists. I just haven't dug into it personally, but that's something like that's on my list.
So it was like on my list for so long, and I had one of those period trackers on my phone, but never used it, and it was annoying to me. Now I have it on my fridge because I go on my fridge to get my cream for my coffee every morning, and I just move a little magnet to the next day, and it will tell you where you're at in your cycle and what symptoms you might be seeing. I made this sheet and I got my friend to laminate it for me after work.
I love that.
It's so helpful because I can actually see, and I record on it like when I got, which day I got my period on, and it has like your hormone cycle. I basically like, I don't know, I just custom it. I'll send it to you if you want.
Yeah, that would be cool. If there was something that like just did it for me, like like an app that then I like put the date in and then it was like, oh, you should actually lay on the couch today. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, or like you should actually, you know, you're going to be really creative this week. Like that kind of like thing. Like that would be, I bet there's an app.
Stardust.
We should.
Yeah. Probably. Stardust is great. Okay. They have an app and it will send you push notifications of like, this is how you might be feeling today. But I noticed that I just would ignore it.
Yeah.
Whereas like when it's on the fridge, it's tactile, it's in front of you. And it's like, oh, no wonder I was so angry at everybody in Target yesterday. You know.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. So, totally, and it's helpful too because my boyfriend can see it as well.
He's like, oh, it's on the fridge. We got to steer clear today.
He's like, I'm going to let you have your alone time tonight.
That's a good idea.
I don't know. I like it. I'll send it to you after.
Yeah, you should.
But then the other thing I was going to say is like, definitely take time off of LinkedIn. Yep. But there's something about like, working with yourself on that. So for me, the way that I combat the imposter syndrome and the comparison is by reaching out to other people that make me mad.
Oh. So
I saw your, like, it doesn't, I don't know why it makes me mad. Maybe I should say it makes me jealous.
Okay.
Jealous rage. I don't know. I get jealous of people.
Tell me more.
And most of them are like, you know, my competitors.
Oh, sure.
But eventually I started to realize like, oh, my competitors are like me. They only have so much capacity for specific types of clients.
Right.
And we're all doing kind of similar things, but in a different way or through different products. And we all have different brains. Like our selling points as freelance writing coaches or as freelance writers is like how we write, how we coach, our personalities. We're all different. So why am I so mad? Like that doesn't make any sense. This started back when I was still on Instagram, and my main competitor was Colleen Welsh of the Freelance Writers Guide.
Oh, yeah.
She's not coaching anymore.
Oh, okay.
And we became friends through Instagram. I reached out to her and I was like, we're kind of doing similar things. You want to come on my podcast? I'll come on yours. Yeah. Do you want to be friends? And I actually went to visit her when I was driving through Cleveland because I'm in the area. And we became actual friends. And then when she decided to stop coaching, we had like a whole long conversation about it. And she was like, do you want to buy my business? And I was like,
oh,
what? And so for a few days, I like thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. And I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Why would I buy her business? We are so different. We're doing completely different things.
So different.
Our personalities are different. It wouldn't make sense for me to buy that audience because I didn't
not
make
your
it.
Audience.
They weren't attracted because of me. They were attracted because of her.
Exactly.
So she sold to somebody else. Who cares? But at the end of the day, I was just like, it was just such an epiphany for me.
Yep.
And that was the real driver of continuing to do that. So now, like, I've had Jenny Gritters on my podcast. I love Jenny.
Yeah.
Our brains are so similar. I've guest spoken in her community. She's going to guest speak in mine. She's been on my podcast. And it's been so cool because she's like, oh, yeah, I don't have any one-on-one capacity left. Do you? And she's like, send me clients. And that's incredible. Chef's kiss. I had Austin Church on.
Yep.
Again, we have similar ways of, like, setting rates and talking about rates. And that was just so cool to be able to share that information with my audience.
Right.
And like, if someone goes and buys this book, like amazing. I hope they do.
Right.
And it just made it like the jealousy and the fear and the comparison just starts to go away when these people become your friends.
Right.
So I always tell people, like, if you're jealous of somebody, reach out to them.
Yeah.
Like when I first started writing, I wanted to write in the outdoor industry and it was really challenging to break into.
Yeah.
And I reached out to one of the most successful writers in the outdoor industry, Heather Below Rockford.
Okay.
And she happened to be teaching a pitching course like a month from then. Yeah. So I got on it. It was super cheap. It was like $150.
Yep.
And I immediately got on it. And she was like personally reviewing our pitches for us. And it was so cool to get to like learn from her.
Yeah.
And I realized in one of the Q&As we did with her, she was like, actually, outdoor writing only makes up like 20 or 30% of my income. Most of the time, it's actually writing for tech outlets or review companies.
Yeah.
That's making the money. And I was like,
you wouldn't have
even known that.
No. Right.
And that's when I started pursuing other niches. And now outdoors has become like a little bit of my income. Sure. And I've slowly broken in. But I never would have learned that. And I would still be jealous of Heather if I hadn't just done. And also noticing she is 20 years older than me. She has more than 15 years more experience.
Right. So you can't even compare. You're not even like at the same level, like at all. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I have a few. I mean, so I only have like the brain capacity to talk to so many people and like actually become like regular friends with them just because
of course
it's a lot. and that's just I think that's an age thing maybe. I don't know. But
I think it's ADHD, true of most people.
It's just, you know. I can't give good me to everyone. Right?
Totally.
So anyways, I have like a certain, you know, number of writers that I just, Sharon Wu, I don't know if you're familiar with her. Her and I chat pretty often. And just the other day we were talking about, trying to find new clients and how it's hard. Everybody's trying to find the same clients, it feels like, or, you know, like all these newsletters that we're on that have gigs or opportunities or pitch where you should pitch. And so it is nice to hear other people's problems are the same problems though that you have,
shared experience.
Yeah. And so it does look like, especially on social media, like everybody's super successful and everybody's, you know, whatever. But people wouldn't know unless you talk about it. And I know that people appreciate hearing about it too, like like on this podcast or even just, you know, the posts and stuff, the posts where I say like I'm gonna lose my client this month or something like that. Like people love that, and it's not even like me trying to get people to love it. It's just this is the real truth. Life so and people, it's refreshing. It's not four ways to grow your LinkedIn or how to optimize your profile, which I do also, but it is good to just put some real life in there.
Yeah. I try to only write posts that I would personally want to read.
Sure.
Or that's like information that I'm like, people really need to know this.
Yeah.
Like the FSLA thing, the whole Department of Labor classification of freelancers thing. Like there was so much fear mongering about that on LinkedIn for a while. And people were like, you need to call your representatives and like cite this as like something they need to back and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, first of all, this is like complete misinformation. If you call your representative and say this, they're going to be like, what are you talking about? And second of all, you don't need to be afraid of this if you're not doing anything. If you're not a full-time employee that's misclassified, you don't need to worry about that. Like this is protection. This is not gonna mess with your career in any way unless you are actively like doing something wrong.
Sure.
And it was just wild to see that going around LinkedIn. Actually, that came up. Someone messaged me about it and was like, do you know anything about this? Because I have a public policy background.
Okay.
And I was like in bed when I got the message on Slack. And I was like, I probably shouldn't read this right now. But then I started reading it. I started reading the post. And then I started reading about the policy. And I read every line of that policy. And I was just like, what is this guy talking about? And I got like so angry. It was first thing in the morning. And the next day, my partner was like, can we just like make an agreement, like no more LinkedIn in bed? Because that was really disturbing. I was like, sorry.
It was a one-time thing. It was really important.
I was like, I swear I won't.
I'm trying to save the freelancers, okay?
They need help.
Yes, they need me.
It was just such a it's such a wild ride.
It really
so,
is. Yeah.
I would love to hear a little bit more about your newsletter.
Sure.
Like, why'd you start it? What's it about? Who's it for? Do you have, like, an end goal with it?
Yeah. So when I was doing alcohol-free content on Instagram, I actually started an alcohol-free newsletter. So I have done a newsletter before. I did that one on Substack. Mm-hmm. Yeah. On Substack. That was fun. It grew really fast. People just liked hearing me talk about not drinking. It sounds really, if you're not someone that's like in a sober space or haven't, you know, made a big change like that, that's really actually really hard in this society that's obsessed with alcohol. Mm-hmm. You don't really like grasp how big of a deal it is to quit drinking and how hard it is for some people. So people really like cling on to anyone that's like talking about that and open about it. Yeah. I'm telling their story, right?
Yeah.
So that grew pretty fast. I mean, not like a lot. Like it grew like, you know, I did it for 4 months, maybe got like 400 subscribers or something like that. But, and then when I quit Instagram, I think I quit the newsletter a little bit before that. I just was a lot to keep up with, you know? Mm-hmm. And then when I moved to LinkedIn, I started another newsletter. I can't even remember why. I think I just like writing.
You like having something
I like writing newsletters, I guess. That was like, it was called The Relatable Creator. And so people always just tell me like, I'm very relatable in what I talk about, what I write. And so that just fit. And I was talking about like creator topics, you know, just like a very wide range of things.
Yeah.
And I love Jay Klaus and his like creator science brand. And so like that's kind of sort of the idea. I mean, I didn't copy him, but like, you know, like the creator space, right? So then at some point I had some sort of epiphany and really enjoy writing about freelance topics. And I'm sort of new, you know, about 2 years I've only been doing it. So I feel like I have a different perspective than maybe somebody who's been doing it for 15, 20 years, like
for sure.
And things change real quick. So even the stuff that I talk about, you know, this year things might be totally different, might be a different cool way to find clients or to put yourself out there next year, you know? So anyways, yeah, I just changed to freelancers and then it grew like way quicker than it did. 'Cause it was a little bit more specific and it's not super specific, right? Like freelancers could be a lot of things like, you know, but yeah, I like the idea of like newsletter businesses. I don't know that it's a long game though for people sometimes, you know? So we'll see. I'm sure I'll just like quit it one random day or something like I tend to do. But no, it's been about a year now including the Relatable Creator one, which is, it's the same one. I just kind of like changed the name, right? About a year I've been doing it now. And every week, I haven't missed a week. I have, you know, I've gotten some ads put in there. People have paid for ads. My goal was to make some products, which again, I have to set aside the time to do that. Otherwise it will not happen. Right. Like with our personal projects, it's so hard for me personally to make the time for that because I'm busy doing, client work, right? Like it's almost like the work that brings in the money you can like vision, you can envision that money coming in because it's a transaction, right?
So like, there's pressure.
Yeah. And you have a deadline. Like, I don't have a deadline. I've been done this product I've been creating for however long, you know.
My favorite thing is to productively procrastinate my client work with my personal projects.
Oh, really?
And then sometimes it works out. Yeah. And other times you're either so stressed out that you're like, I fucked up. Or you have to extend your deadline because you fucked up. But sometimes it works out really well and you get a bunch of stuff done.
Right. I need to get stuff done. There was one week where I knew that I really didn't have any deadlines. And I was like, okay, the plan is to make X, you know, parts of the product. And one day was brainstorming and I did that and I outlined it. And I think I spent, you know, a couple of days on it. And now it's like in a place where I still need to work on it. It's not even close. I do have a wait list going. So like, that's good.
There you go. Something started.
Yeah. So like, I've talked about it a little bit in the newsletter. I'm not really actively promoting it or anything. Probably just as like a thing where like, if I decide to not do it anymore, I mean, I'm sure I'll do it someday.
Yeah.
I should make a headline. But yeah, so the newsletter is for that. It would be nice to like get some money from it. Like I think
totally
that would be
it's a big effort.
But yeah, ads is, that's a game itself. Like, you got to get out there and find people to put ads in it. So it's not sustainable to just get paid from ads over and over.
Yeah. Either. You would have to do the same thing as you do with getting freelance clients.
Exactly. If you keep going out there and getting them. So I think the best way probably to monetize it would be with products and little things like that, templates and stuff like that. So I really do need to prioritize that. So we'll see. We'll see.
Nice.
We'll see what happens. But
yeah, I love
just keep growing it, I guess, is my goal. I don't have, I'm not like typically a person who sets like these really big goals. Probably because I don't want to like not reach them and then like be mad. So I'll
yeah, you're set, just like, doing it to do it.
I'll do like, you know, even with like a day, even like a day, like today I have like a list of things like I want for sure to get done. Just a couple. And then anything else is extra. So I don't have like this huge goal to get all this stuff done because like I won't get it done and then I'll be mad at myself. So I try to like just do the minimum that I need to do, need, you know. But that's typically how I work with most things. So
nice. Yeah. That makes sense. It's good to know yourself.
Yeah. Right.
So you were diagnosed with ADHD about a year ago.
Yeah.
And it's been tell me about that. First of all, what it was like to get diagnosed.
Sure.
But also like what the past year has been like for you and how that's changed your life.
So, you know, I've always like, not always, but like in recent years, since I started writing and having more to keep track of, I've thought like, oh, like, do I have ADHD? Or like, I don't know. I just would say like, I have ADHD like tendencies, you know? And I was in therapy, just like monthly therapy for no reason other than because everyone should probably just be in regular therapy. like you need to have, you need to have therapy like ready for like when you actually need therapy, you know what I mean?
You need like, to have like a good relationship.
Right. Or like something solid to like, okay, but I actually like need to talk about this big stressor in my life now. No, you know what I mean? So I was in therapy for like about a year. And one day she said to me, have you ever thought about that you might have ADHD? And I was like, you know, I have. She's like, because we've spent the last year talking about your time management and finding new ways to manage my time and organize and my planners that I kept buying and never using and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, you know, I have thought about that. And so I made an appointment within a week. I was in my primary physician's office and with my notes app with all the reasons why I think I have ADHD listed out on a little. I just sat there and like pulled it out and like read it out. So I'm like, I interrupt. My brain is, you know, I'm just like, I keep going, right? Yeah. And at the end, he's like, yeah, I can very confidently say that you have adult ADHD. And I was like, oh, okay. And he's like, cool. You know what? You're doing what you need to do. You're going to therapy. You're trying to manage your time. He's like, but honestly, he said, it's actually shocking to me that you're like functioning with like, I don't know what the words exactly are, but
yeah, totally.
Like, it's like surprising that like you're actually like getting stuff done and like functioning. It's like the amount of mental work that you're doing to get through all the stuff that you have to keep track of is like mind blowing to me. He said, and I was like, really? Oh, just like, I just do it. But like, no wonder I'm tired at 7. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like totally.
So I got on medication right away because I was already doing therapy. I was already doing the other things that he would suggest. And honestly, game changer. Game changer. I said to my friend the other day, who's a mental health therapist, I said, who she has also ADHD. I said, okay, so like the normal person that like exercises, eats healthy, gets enough sleep, does all those good things, like, you know, has good relationships. The normal person that does not have ADHD, do they just like see the world clearly? She's like, yeah, they do. I was like, what? Really? Really? They do? Because like after I got on medication, it felt like there was, I never felt like I was in a fog or anything like that, but I just feel like some days I'm just like, wow, everything's very crisp, you know? He just said it was a very low dose when I started. He just said, it's going to help with task switching. And it did. And like, we've upped it a little bit since, nothing crazy, but, yeah, it's wild though. The difference of like,
that's major.
Yeah. And now, I mean, it's only been a year, so this is brand new to me, but like all the Instagram reels about making fun of ADHD, like people making fun of themselves, like, you know, just like the funny things. I'm like, oh my God, I do that. I do. And I think I just am very hypersensitive to it now. We're like, everything I do, I'm like, oh my God, that's ADHD. Like,
you can see it everywhere too,
like,
now. In
conversation last night, even I said, I had this whole story and I interject all these like not really important parts of the story, but I'll like kind of have a monologue with myself in the middle of the story, trying to figure out part of the story. And then I'll keep telling the story. And then last night he's like, did it really matter if they messaged you on Snapchat or Teams or like email? Like, why did you have to like try to figure that out in the middle of the story? I'm like, okay, but like that didn't bother me. Like while I was telling the story, like I just, that's just where my brain went. You know, he's like, I don't care. I just think it's funny. I'm like, yeah, it is funny. He's like, I didn't even recognize that I did that. You know, and so there's a lot of things that, it's been interesting. I'm still really trying to figure out how my brain works best, though. Like still trying to figure out
how to work with yourself.
Yeah, and like what days are better for what, or like I'm trying. You know, I try to do only meetings on this day, or like, I'm going to try this thing called like, this is not that like groundbreaking. Like I'm going to just like, it's like content day. Like I'm only going to write content, LinkedIn newsletter. Mm-hmm. And then maybe any extra time, you know, maybe go through emails or something like that. But cause if I don't do those, if I don't set that time aside, then it doesn't happen. Like we talked about, right. Or like, a really deep work day where it's like blogs, it's client blogs and it's nothing else. It's the phone is in the room. LinkedIn is not happening, you know?
Yeah.
And taking breaks is one that I'm not great at, you know, I got an under the desk treadmill. So that's good. Nice. Taking breaks is the one I'm probably not the best at. So
yeah. Cause you get focused.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been very enlightening moving in with my partner and him pointing out all of these things that I'm like, what do you mean? you go to work from 8 to 4 and you're like genuinely working the whole time. How? And like, you're not exhausted. It happens to me like around 7. I'm just like, I'm dead. Or like, he'll be like, you have ping pong brain today. But he says it like every day. And I was like, maybe I should like actually talk to somebody about this.
Yeah. And you know,
I'm afraid of medication, but the more people I talk to that have been diagnosed that are taking medication, I'm like, maybe I should try it.
I've heard, and you know, I work in psychology. I have friends that are like PhDs, like, you know, like I'm not trying to brag. Like I'm really not.
Yeah,
I'm
no, I get what you mean.
Like they are people that know what they're talking about is what I mean.
You're right? Informed.
Informed. Yeah. And you know, the main two things are like appetite. Like it can change your appetite, make you eat less. And then sleep are the main two, you know, side effects of ADHD medication. Some people don't like, sometimes it takes a little bit to like go from one to the other just to find something
to
that
figure
works.
One out.
I got lucky really early and that I found something that works. And sometimes it's a long process for people.
Yeah.
Some doctors.
I just think it's just so kinda funny just like how many things I've been diagnosed with psychologically over my lifetime. And I was like tested for autism and ADHD when I was a kid, but those tests were designed for boys. So of course
That's the work that I do, by the way. I test.
Oh, interesting.
I don't test kids, but I test adults. That's the kind of stuff that I do at my day job. So
interesting.
Yeah,
so you're very informed.
Yeah, right. Like almost too much. Like I know too much. I pick stuff up like, oh yeah, that kid over there.
And then you intellectualize in therapy and your therapist's like, all right, here's all your patterns. Cause that's the only thing you hire me for at this point.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. It's so true. But they do say that a lot of girls, and I'm not a doctor, right? But like, I have heard that a lot of girls, especially, you know, get diagnosed with like anxiety or it ends up being like, looks like anxiety because you're, it's not this like, I can't sit still in class kind of thing, right? It's like this whole umbrella of things. Cause like, I don't have this like hyper, people think that's what ADHD is, but
I don't have energy. I'm not hyperactive.
Yeah.
Unless I'm like obsessed with something and then I'll go off.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But like, I was diagnosed with anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. And the more I think about like, what my anxiety is about or when depression shows up when I'm just not interested in anything. But I can be depressed about everything except like roller skating.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well then I'm not depressed. I'm just not interested. Or like I'll be anxious, but it's about specifically like one obsessive thing. And that will be the thing for like 3 months. Like paying a certain bill or like finding pants that actually fit me or like right. something super silly and trivial sometimes or sometimes mm-hmm. it's something big, but then it will go away and then it comes back. And it's, I don't know, I just read it. I feel like I relate to the videos on TikTok, but then I'm like, oh, it's such a cliche that everyone's like self-diagnosing themselves with ADHD and I don't want to, and I just started going to therapy again after like a year and a half long break and I just I haven't been to my PCP in like 4 years and I found out like recently that during the time that she was listed as my PCP on my insurance, she's actually like not even been working anymore. So I'm like, oh, maybe I should like get a PCP. So I'm like getting a PCP and it's just all these things that you have to go through to get the diagnosis. So I'm in process, but I I love hearing people's stories about it because it's like it is really relatable to me and I'm just kind of like, what's happening? You know what I mean?
Right. And it's a weird imposter syndrome-y thing too, because like, I'm like, okay, but like, do I have ADHD? Like, because that's how that person talks about their ADHD and they've been dealing with it since they were a child. So like, do I really have, do I have real ADHD? You know what I mean? So like, it's like this weird.
And I'm living with a neurotypical person who is like Hondo P neurotypical. Like he's never been diagnosed with anything in his life. He goes to therapy just to talk about like whatever his like family system issues are, like depression and anxiety. And in comparison, like I'm fucked compared to that guy. The amount of time I spend thinking and dealing with things and just like when I ask him what he's thinking about, it's either like nothing or like what somebody thought of me or what his work is. That's it. And you ask me what I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, so there's like 15 things happening at once. There's like a medley of like Taylor Swift and Bruno Mars. I don't even like Bruno Mars, but I don't know how it got stuck in my head. And then there's also like this new album release that's coming out. And then there's also like work and you know what I mean? Like I could talk forever. Have you seen those videos on TikTok? There are these two guys who are twin brothers.
I don't have TikTok. Okay. But maybe Instagram.
I was, they might be on Instagram. Oh my God, I should send you this video. It's these guys that are like, what's going on in my brain at 4 a.m.? And then it's these two brothers playing a mashup of 15 different songs that happen to have the same BPMs and chords.
Oh
and
my gosh.
They're in the video, they're sitting still, but their outfits swap every like 2 seconds with the beat. And I'm just like, yes, that's the thing.
That definitely could be ADHD. I'm not, I'm not a medical provider.
But, thanks for being the armchair expert here.
Right, exactly. No, I mean, yeah, it's definitely worth if anyone is in, you know, considering any like, oh, I might have this or that, you know, learning more about it, asking questions, right? Yeah,
I mean, doctor.
I guess a diagnosis for something like that would, the only reason you probably would need that is if you were going to have be on medication, I guess.
It is an answer. It is like, oh, this is a validation. Label and it makes more sense. And none of the like diagnoses I've gotten have ever been like, yes, that's me. That makes sense.
Right.
That explains everything. It's just like, okay.
I guess. So I have fit in that box.
And so, and I have so many like really specific systems that I've developed with my therapist and that's great. And I'm really high functioning, but like, I would love to have the energy to like go out in the evening with my friends because I'm fucking 29 years old and I feel like I should be able to do that and I can't or like I feel like I shouldn't be maybe I'm like working against myself by not getting help at this point, you know what I mean?
It's worth I mean and here's the other thing if you were to go let's say you started on medication, you don't have to do that forever. Like you could do it for a month like I don't really like it and then be done and then we're done with it, you know what I mean? Like it doesn't have to be like this like thing that you do, you know. It's not like you're getting like an arm amputated like and you have to, it's like a big decision. I mean it's a big decision, I get that, but like I'm so much just like, dude, if I can get some help, like, and I was functioning just fine, right? Like I was fine. My dog's whining. Squirrel. My dog, so I was fine. And he said, my doctor even said, he said a lot of doctors would be in here talking to you right now and they'd be like, you're fine, you're a mom, you're busy, like you're whatever, like you're, it seems like you're doing fine. You're not missing deadlines. You're not whatever, you know, but he's like, I think you could, you would get a little boost, a little help with this. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is a game changer. And it changes your mood sometimes. Like I am in such a better mood some days because of it, you know, I don't necessarily always need naps in the afternoon. Like I feel like I do if I don't take it.
Yeah.
It's just been like, I feel like I know too much now, like about myself, which is sometimes a bad thing. Cause like, you just like pick up on those things, you know, on your, with yourself. And yeah,
it's really interesting.
Yeah.
I love hearing everybody's experience. I always
talk about it though. So like, I love talking about it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Interesting.
We'll have to, I want to do a poll and see how many freelancers have been diagnosed with ADHD.
I did like in my community. Kind of poll. Was it last week or the week before?
Oh,
was it about ADHD? There was an ADHD. I don't know if last week's was. I think it was. Mm-hmm. And it was like, are you diagnosed with ADHD? Are you not? Do you think you have it? And like a lot of people, I'll find it and I'll send it to you, that poll.
Yeah, that would be so interesting.
There's like a lot. There's like, I want to say there's like over 300 people responded to it.
Wow.
And a lot of people are like, I feel like I kind of do. Because you know what? The creative thing too is a lot of people who have ADHD are super creative because their mind's got all these ideas going all the time and they're curious. And but that's because we also jump around from one thing to the next because we get bored, right, with these certain things, which is why I'm like, oh, I might quit my newsletter one day. Like, I'm just gonna wake up and like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Oh, I very much relate. Oh man. Well, it was really, really good talking to you today, Blair. Yeah. Can you tell people where they can find you on the internet?
So I'm on LinkedIn, obviously, as we made that very clear. Just search my name. And then I also like have a website, blairsharp.com. And so if you want to check out my newsletter, you can go on there. There's a button, I guess, on my header. You know, it's like blairsharp.com/newsletter if you want to check that out. But I'm mostly on LinkedIn. That's really where you're going to find me and most of the time.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yay. It was so nice to finally like actually talk to you. Same. And not just see you around on LinkedIn.
Yeah, exactly. Our photos.
Perfect. Holy crap, that was a mind-blowing episode for me. I loved talking to Blair so much. It was actually really helpful to hear about her experience with getting diagnosed with ADHD because, as my friend Chelsea told me, I just thought you've been in denial for the past 8 years that I've known you. As someone who is already diagnosed with ADHD, Chelsea saw it in me almost immediately. And I've had multiple friends tell me that, but it wasn't until Blair told me that, and then the next day, my friend's mom, who works with autistic children and ADHD children at school as a classroom aide one-on-one, said, "Of course you do. I can so see that." Did it really hit me that it might be true? The thing is, I have thought about this on and off for the past 2 years, but ADHD is like so in the zeitgeist in social media right now that I thought that maybe I had like convinced myself that I have something that I don't have, or that I was using it as an excuse, or that I would use it as a crutch, or that I don't know that I'm like convincing myself that I have something that I don't have, because there's so many things about having ADHD that can be really relatable to people that don't have ADHD that I was just confused. And I never talked to anybody about it because I was kind of like embarrassed to try to talk about it. But this convinced me that I need to look further into it. And my therapist suggested that I talk to a psychiatrist and explore medication. Basically, the two ways you can go about dealing with your ADHD, if you want to, is creating systems and sticking to them, which I've already done fully to a T. I've been creating systems for myself for the past 4 years very intently, and making it so that I can be as high functioning as possible. And I've learned how to take care of myself in a new way, and I've worked on brain hacks, life hacks, chore hack, figuring out how to work with my brain. And I feel like I've done that. I feel like I've explored that. I will continue to use these systems for sure, but I don't feel like adding more systems as tools to my toolbox is going to really be helpful for me at this point. Like, I feel like I've kind of maxed that out, and I work on modifying and tweaking my systems every year anyway. So the other route is medication, and these can complement each other, or you can just do one or the other, depending on how your brain personally works. And I have not explored medication. So the point of seeking a diagnosis at this point is to try medication and also just to get some answers as to whether or not my brain itself is different, or if this is just anxiety or depression or trauma responses or PTSD or whatever. Disclaimer, Neither me or Blair are licensed medical professionals giving advice on this podcast. So, you know, just keep that in mind. I will say that talking to a professional and working on heading down the path of seeking help for this is something that I'm really proud of myself for doing. And I hope that it results in something helpful and some answers. And I hope that sharing this experience, which has been a little bit scary and vulnerable for me, helps someone else out there find the help that they need. And if you can make your life easier in a harmless way, why wouldn't you? You know? Anyway, I hope this episode was helpful for you. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe to Hey Freelancer. The link is in the description below. And if you haven't heard, my free community events have gotten an upgrade. We now have hosts. So if you're looking for free co-working, webinars, and more, check out our free community events. The link is in the description. And also, I wanted to let you know that me and Blair are freaking thriving on LinkedIn. And if you want to thrive on LinkedIn too, you need to have a good profile. So I wanted to tell you that on May 7th, I will be critiquing LinkedIn profiles in our next Pop Club workshop. Pop Club is just $33 a month to join. You can cancel anytime. It comes with a Slack community, weekly workshops and office hours, and an entire library of resources for you. If you join before May 6th, you can get your LinkedIn profile critiqued during our May 7th LinkedIn profile workshop, and I'll be recording the whole thing. So even if you can't make it, you will get the replay and a list of what you can tweak on your LinkedIn profile to make it even better. All right, y'all, I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Guidebook. I'll be in your ears next week as usual. This podcast was created by Rachel Meltzer and edited by Matthew Usherwood.
The music is by Ketza from the Free Music Archive.
You can find more information in the show notes below. P.S. Did you know that I offer coaching for freelance writers? You can find more information on store.meltzerseltzer.com. That's store.meltzerseltzer.com. MeltzerSeltzer.com.